And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, Brian has a Ben Simmons take? Are you going to talk about it?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. I mean, briefly. It's not that big of a take.
But I'll tell you why. This is maybe the perfect Nets season. We'll talk, obviously, the massive disappointment it is that the Nets did not get into the NBA mid-season tournament, or what I'm calling the mud season tournament, because it's not legitimate. We'll talk about it.
Coming up. Here we go.
To the Glue Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com. Not part of the New York Times. Go, Brian. Brian.
The Nets are back.
Yeah, buddy. What are we doing, Mike? What are we winning games?
We're stacking dubs like no one has ever done in the NBA. We're 9-8. The Nets have won 3 in a row. They've beat the mighty Miami Heat, about as depleted as a team could be. But they got that fat dub last night.
Don't ever do that, Mike.
Toronto Raptors.
Don't caveat with the depletion stuff. We're missing we're always missing our best guys, always, throughout the entire history of this franchise, okay?
Yeah, so we are the caveat, team caveat, which is what the Nets should
be.
No,
we're not. We're taking the caveats that we beat the Heat and then we beat the Raptors. That's what happened.
The Nets are 9-8. The Nets are the 9 seed right now in the Eastern Conference. Just for context, the Pacers are the 6 seed and they're 9-7. The Nets are 9-8. There is a bundle of teams between 5 and 10. Not that we really care about playoff positioning right now, but Brian, we did care about. Tell me, because this is. I'm going to reveal a dirty truth on the show, an absolutely dirty, disgusting truth
worried.
That reflects upon you and not upon me. Okay, Brian really does worried. A dirty stream.
Okay,
for almost every game, but on Game 4 of the Nets midseason Group C tournament. Brian did not dirty stream last
night. I was
night.
Busy, and I told people on the previous stream that I wasn't going to be there, and I guess nobody stuck up for me and corrected the record. And of course, Mike, bottom feeder that he is, and sower of Discord on the Discord, and shout out to the Discord, that's discord.gg/glueguys, he was just rabble-rousing, I want to say, just truly rabble-rousing, and I
speaking
guess you're...
Speaking for the people is what I call it.
Continuing,
speaking for the people.
Continuing to do it. Here and now on the podcast, shameless, Mike.
I am such a bottom feeder that I am bioluminescent.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been reading some books.
That's true. Right. Yeah, ever since the the platypus is a bird, he had to hit the books.
I'm still investigating those results.
And actually, still the worst part of that was birds are mammals. That was really the finding. We're truly, Mike. We discovered that Mike doesn't know anything.
I was born in a tube.
Yeah.
I was homeschooled and only taught certain things. Yeah. One of them being how to podcast.
And you're crushing. You're crushing the game.
But did you finish watching the game? Tell me the truth.
I did. I watched the replay on the internet. Won't say where, but I did.
Can I just say? I mean, I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm a friend of Andrew Schlecht's. Andrew Schlecht had San Vecini on his Slam a Jam pod, and they were talking. They made a casual comment about how the Nets aren't fun to watch, and I vehemently disagree because this team last night put the beat down on the Toronto Raptors. This is the perfect Nets season. I said it in the open. This is it, Bry.
Mm.
This is what we wanted.
What are the arguments for this not being a fun team to watch? What's that?
Because there's not no one that good. There's no one like that young and dynamic.
Dude, goldfish memory. Has everyone forgot about Cam Thomas that quickly? It's pathetic. The goldfish memory and everyone. It's fitting that you have a fish as your background for the YouTube, like, because that's
as if I planned it.
That is the NBA pundits at writ large, and they're represented behind you.
This is the behind me is an image in my mind of the NBA media Illuminati.
Yeah,
a cigarette smoking fish. In a sort of like a dinner jacket.
Yeah.
The fat cats in Washington, absolutely not analyzing this Nets team. I think Cam Thomas is close to coming back. I think he was doubtful or questionable for last night's game.
I had heard somewhere that he was two games away. That was the rumor on the street, which this might have been the second game of that, or there might be another one.
Here's why this Nets season is the perfect Nets season. If I told you before the season... There's going to be a caveat, and we're going to get into your discussion about Ben Simmons. As we said, though, no caveats. Okay? What was the name of our metal band? Wait.
Yeah.
I have a sounder. Summon the Nuance. Summon the Nuance. No, I'm going to workshop that.
Yeah.
The Nets are 9-8. The Nets had one of the hardest schedules in the NBA to start the season.
I believe is the second hardest. That's what I had some people on the Discord. I was lurking and saw them synthesizing this, and I believe that it was the second overall hardest.
And if I think I saw someone tweet this, the Nets BPI, their blood pressure index,
okay,
or otherwise known as basketball performance index, is like sixth in the NBA, meaning like they are the sixth best team according to some formula.
I love a formula.
I will take it. Listen, the Nets are 9-8. Mikal Bridges is a certified stud. Cam Johnson has been pretty good. Nick Claxton, when healthy, is still Nick Claxton. DFS, we'll get to these questions in our mailbag pod. I've loved DFS. Now, there's some nights when he doesn't shoot, but he is the small ball center that we've been dying for. Like, he is... Now, he's not the greatest center in the NBA. That's not even his position, but he is tall enough and active enough and cares enough to be a small ball center. Cam Thomas, when he comes back, all the fish smoking cigar member people in the media are going to remember what Cam Thomas has wrought upon the NBA. There are so many positives about this team, and we haven't even really seen Dariq Whitehead and Noah Clowney, which is, I guess, could be a negative, but I'm going to say... We're stashing them for the playoff run. The Nets are 9-8. The Nets are a frisky, good, smart playing team. Part of the reason why their offensive numbers are so high is because they shoot so many threes. What I am saying is this team, if we sketched out this season, what did they need to do this season? We needed to see what Ben Simmons was, but mostly we needed to be good enough so that when a true superstar, not Zach LaVine, not Karl-Anthony Towns, but a true superstar gets on the market, the Nets are good enough to be looking at that person's looking at Brooklyn.
Can I assert something?
Assert.
Let me assert something wildly.
Summon the Nuance.
I'm gonna disengage the Nuance and summon the hot take. Okay. Lonnie Walker, and I never do this. I'm anti per 36. You know I never do. I'm devout.
No one is more anti per 36.
I have the number. I have the 36 and then crossed out. I have that tattooed on my ribs. I don't like it. It's a bad number.
And then it becomes a 666.
Yeah. It's the work of the
devil.
How
you view a 36.
It's the work of the devil. And anyone who, like, this is, you know, shout out to YouTube and the people that watch on YouTube, but the YouTube commenters often are some of the, no offense, but they are the, you know, it's any big platform like that, you get some... just low information viewers, and they always come after you with a per 36 argument. That's like, that's a YouTuber comment in waiting. Anyways, in this one instance, because I think Lenny Walker needs to play a lot more minutes, Mike. In the last like handful of games, 23 minutes, 25 minutes, 14, 16 minutes. If we bring him up to the 36 numbers, he is a more efficient Zach LaVine who plays defense, Michael Anthony Smeltz. And this is Anthony, right? Anthony? No.
Close.
Was it?
Aaron?
Really? At least I had the letter. So I just think he just needs a
really
lot.
Really impressed with yourself with that one.
I can't believe it. He is in elite company right now in terms of true shooting percentage in this amount of possessions, that amount of points scored. Like, I feel like between him and Cam Thomas, like, we have our ancillary, like, what you're saying with adding a star, like, yes, and we have these, like, percolating stars in-house, Mike. We have a lot here offensively that's just kind of lurking in the behind the scenes. And if Jacques, and, you know, I've loved Jacques so far, and there's a couple just a little things on the fringes that I would improve upon, like, let Lonnie ride. What are we waiting for?
Well, I'm going to do this exercise. We're going to rank the top five Nets players right now. Okay? We're going to do this together. I don't know if you want to S-tier it or something, but let's do it together. Okay?
Okay.
Who's number one? Mikal Bridges?
Wow. Wow, look at you. Is that your number one? Yeah, it's my number one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Who's number two? Is it Nick Claxton? Or is it Cam Thomas? Do we still want to...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's Nick Claxton. Where are we weighting our recency bias just because, like, Cam isn't playing right now?
I think it's either Cam or Nick. So that's two and three, right?
Sure.
I would say. Is four Cam Johnson or Lonnie Walker? Lonnie Walker is a top five Net, I would say.
Cam has been good recently. He came on a little bit slow. So I feel like this is where it gets a little bit dicey. But I've bought all the Lonnie Walker stock. I did it immediately game one. So I want to be the most correct about this. And with that in mind, I obviously am trying to push Lonnie Walker to the front of this list. Though I do think it's still early days and that Cam might continue to have a really good season.
So I would say that the best Nets lineup could be crunch time, Cam Thomas, Lonnie Walker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, and Nick Claxton, right?
Can we say also, while we're on the subject of crunch time, clutch points. Guess who's in third place behind Trey and Dame? It's your boy, Mikal Bridges. Guess who's second in clutch field goals made behind LeBron James? Mikal Bridges. People have been talking about who's the closer, Mike? Who's going to be the closer on this team? Did the Nets even have a closer? We have maybe the best overall closer in the game right now.
That guy closes doors. He just he shuts them, locks them.
He doesn't
via an app on his phone.
That's exactly right.
His Solage. What's a door lock company? Solage.
What are we doing? A door lock company?
Actually, there's a lot of companies like that sponsor podcasts, so we should probably just
I fell asleep watching Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, and I'm reminded now of John Candy's character, which is a really sleepy movie. It's like the most boring movie. Is a shower curtain hoop salesman. That's I'm reminded of that by what you're asking right now.
So all of that is to say, so, like, analysis of the game last night, the Nets win. They beat a team that they are on par with, I would say, in the NBA. The Nets are rarely blown out, though it does happen. I think that they are a constantly competitive team. I don't, you know, I know that, again, there's the fringe, sometimes right-to-the-heart criticism of Jock Vaughn. I think this team is, like, very firmly in that mix of the 10-7 seed in the NBA. And if you think about what happened, I'm not going to go down memory lane. The Nets lost Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
All right, stop it. I'm stopping you right now. Shut up. Let me do a tip of the cap to Jacques Vaughn on my compliments.
Tip of the cap.
Because I don't want to even, when I hear their names, I want to stop you and just bury that.
I just want to talk real quickly.
Everyone also going into the season on top of who's the closer? How do we rebound, Mike? Who's going to be rebounding on this team? Overall rebounding percentage, we're seventh. We're a top seven team, Mike. We're the seventh.
In docking, when you have guys on the floor that care more about than just like scoring buckets, mm-hmm. than bucket getters, what that brings you. Like, I've loved Trendon Watford. Like,
AKA, when I see him, AKA T Watt, as we affectionately call him in the Discord.
T Watt, Watt Daddy, the Watt Ford T, you know, Ford Model T.
Okay. Yeah.
You get it? Is that too far? Also, people were pissed at me, Brian. They were furious at me. I mentioned Kessler Edwards' name a few episodes ago, and I didn't call him the three kettle. Remember
people
that?
Were pissed about that. Yeah, they were
people
upset.
Were furious that I didn't pay respect to the best nickname in basketball, the three kettle, which should be on Kessler Edwards's.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. On his LinkedIn, not even his basketball reference. And so we have some questions. I think we could just dive.
I want to do one last little bit, though. Last little.
Oh, you have to do your Ben Simmons thing, which
I don't really care about it.
Someone just asked. Well, someone, Carl Birdsong in the Discord asked about Ben Simmons as if you're coming back. So I think that's a natural segue into that. But what were you going to say first?
I was going to say, Mike, before you prematurely segued us, that my last little piece of in my compliment sandwich for Jacques Vaughn here is, and I do think this is an improvement on the fringes as well. Mike, what is it? You shaking your head?
Love a compliment sandwich. You are obsessed.
I mean, come on, mid-level management.
Live your life.
That's how it is. Pace, Mike, we are 22nd in the league in pace. However, we are 6th in effective field goal percentage and 10th in true shooting percentage. So I feel like Jacques Vaughn has a half court mindset right now with a transition offense roster. And I think we could actually, despite the fact that we're decent on offense overall, we could be like considerably better if we make a few adjustments in terms of how fast we get into our offensive sets. We just need to play faster because we're really efficient.
You know who would help that?
Let's get into it.
Oh,
wait, who's Carl Birdsong? Carl Birdsong! From the Discord, from the top rope, a.k.a. the Discord. Let me pull up that stupid thing. Where did it go?
I will just add this stat. The Nets are shooting the fourth most threes per game in the NBA, and they're shooting the third best percentage on threes, which is not usually – usually you don't shoot a ton of threes and then shoot a great percentage. They're doing both. And that's what keeps them – that's why their offense is good. That single bit of information is why they are actually good offensively this year.
Mm. Nice. Carl Birdsong has multitude of questions. A lot. He's just thinking over there. The wheels are turning. And on the forefront of his mind is Ben Simmons ever coming back, Mike? And I do think I'm at the point now where, like, for me, I think it is like, this is a worst case scenario, right? Like, Ben Simmons, I don't know. I haven't looked at what I'm assuming he's averaging like 6 points per game and is now in the shadow realm with an impinged hip and or back or something, a cryptic, lingering, familiar territory style injury. And it's truly worst case scenario, Mike. I mean, it's like I think we need to be open about the fact that this is not going well and that we should basically presume that he's not going to be around, build the team with that in mind, and then anything good that comes from it is just thumbs up, and that's cool, man. Because, you know, I feel like we're at the point now where it's just it's just not smart to be building a team around a guy who's in this position. And I hate to say it, it's not, you know, I don't take any joy in saying, like, that's the situation. Mike, do you see any joy on my face? No, it's despair. I'm despairing.
I see a lot of joy. You're gleeful about the downfall of Ben Simmons. You are absolutely bubbling.
You need to
joy.
Stop. It's not right. It's not correct. And
you're hanging tinsel and Harley. What are you people?
And now all of our listeners can see just how toxic Mike is. This is how he is in the Discord all the time. But so Ben is, I think we should be like kind of processing this team without him in mind. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think it's helpful for me to be like, Ben Simmons is just not going to play. And like, okay, if he does play, like he can, and here's the downstream, like thumbs up part of it. It's like, you know, the idea of Cam Thomas and him coming off the bench at some point down the line, or him and Lonnie, you know, playing minutes together. It's like, that's a fun idea, but it's not something I want to build around. It's not something I want to consider for the future. It's not a pillar that I want to build around.
I think the team has been at that place too. Like there's been that change of tone almost immediately when Jacques Vaughn came in. The way he talked about Ben Simmons was different than the way that Steve Nash talked about Ben Simmons. The way that Ben Simmons has even been portrayed by the team on social media, they don't treat him like he's like the star really at all. I mean, it's hard to be treated that way on social media if you don't play basketball games. And again, you have glee in your face. I don't have any glee about this. Like, I'm not happy about it. Brian is absolutely jubilant over there. The Christmas spirit is flowing through that unshaven Turkish face. Is that what you remember? Don't you chew Turkish gum? Is that the thing?
Oh, I do. I do chew Turkish gum.
Okay, so this is also curfew DC in the Discord. Should we just send Ben home? Don't let him ever come back to the roster. I do want to talk about that. So there's this idea out there, like Cam Thomas is coming back from injury. Ben Simmons is coming back. Cam, of course, reinsert into the rotation. You get all the point, all the scoring, everything that Cam Thomas is. You want that. Do we want Ben Simmons on this team? And I don't think it's a question at all. Like, yes, yeah, you do. Like, I don't find him to be so disruptive at all that you want to keep him away from this team. It's not like that. Like, even though I talk about how this is the perfect Nets season and the team is setting themselves up to be an interesting landing spot for Luka Doncic or Steph Curry, just throwing names out there.
Yeah,
I want to get the Steph Curry trade rumor started because those. Did you just put a hand? Was that a hand up thing? I got a weird like Zoom alert. I want to get the Steph Curry trade rumors started. Ben, I still think could be useful when he plays. But he is, as you say, there's nothing that this team should put on Ben's brittle back, right? Mm-hmm. He should be Trendon Watford, essentially.
To be honest, Trendon Watford is like kind of a really good replacement for Ben Simmons. And I, you know, like just similar body types, like does a little bit, you know, is the kind of plays fearlessly in a way that Ben can't at the moment. But does kind of have a similar game with a little bit more, with honestly a little bit more going for it.
I still think Ben brings that fast break offense, rebounding, defensive versatility, and that just bullseye shooter, a bullseye shooter from an inch in to the hoop. Now, I don't think the argument of, and like, listen, like if Ben Simmons comes back and the Nets lose three in a row and their offense sucks, then I'll probably immediately change my tune. I need the information of him on the floor with this team again before I'm like, we need to cast him away. I don't think he's a castaway moment. What I do think is, like, if the Nets get 8 good games out of Ben Simmons, they should trade him immediately because there's no part of him.
Dude, that's not going to be enough. Nobody's going to get baited that hard for 8 games.
You don't know. Couldn't someone use him? Do you see what's happening in Detroit? Detroit is horrific.
Detroit is the type of team.
What's happening to Joe Harris? Is he still?
Dude, have you seen his numbers? They're garbanzo. Oh.
Why am I excited? I shouldn't be excited to see that. Like, I shouldn't be like, but I'm a little excited because, as I said, I'm a caveman and I don't want people, oh my God, 14 minutes a game shooting 32% from three, averaging 3 points.
I know. It's not good for Joey Buckets. Dude, it was the ankle injury to end all, like sprained ankles. It's crazy.
And then he walked in the goddamn snow in Cleveland to get a coffee with Patty Mills. Don't you remember that? That video?
This is why I never go out for coffee. They charge you way too much. And second of all, Joe Harris sprained his ankle twice. Getting coffee.
Next up.
That's Cheerboy Will 2000. AKA Will 2K. Has a great one here. Are you ready? Strap in, Mike. This is a good question.
Yep.
Will 2K says, the Nets have been better than many have expected so far. 9-8 with a brutal schedule. Cam Thomas is coming back, and the schedule lightens up going forward. If the Nets continue to overachieve, how do they balance building for the future, as they're clearly not a contender yet, with expiring players like Royce, Dinwiddie, and Lonnie Walker?
What a good... God, that voice. What was that? Where did that come from?
I kind of like switched into like a trailer, like a movie trailer or something. I don't know. I'll do them all for you and like that version going forward.
Okay, let me ask you real quick question off of this. Should the Nets look at, like, I don't even know what the CBA parameters are, like, but should they try to extend Lonnie Walker, like, right now?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Lonnie's about to pop off, and they need to get him as cheaply as possible. I think it's weird. I mean, I don't know if there's many examples of this, of a guy who's kind of been on the outskirts of a of an NBA contract gets a one-year deal and then, like, is instantly flipped for something of real value in that, in, like, a half a season. Like, I just... Like, it's tough to think of an example of that happening.
It's rare. And I was thinking as you're saying that, like, if we did highest trade value most likely to be able to be traded, meaning, like, Mikal Bridges has the highest trade value.
Yeah. I mean, but Royce and Dinwiddie are good, too. I mean, I think especially Royce fits on a lot of teams and there would be a market for him.
I would say Lonnie Walker because he is so cheap. So insanely cheap, and his cap hold for next year. Now, there is, like, rules, like, you only can give a guy a certain raise, like 120% off of last year's. There's some, like, thing like that restricting the Nets from doing that, unless if they then hit the open market, and then you can give them whatever you want. I think there's some, so, like, the Nets probably can't even do an extension with Lonnie Walker right now because of that rule, because the extension could only be 120, 140% of what his current salary is, which, so, I mean, it's like $4 million. He ain't taking that. But I could see a team, if Lonnie Walker does what he's doing right now, and this is going to be up for debate all season long, team giving up a protected first-round pick for Lonnie Walker.
I don't think it's possible.
A contending team?
I'm going to say, I mean, I think that's the value, 100%, I agree with you, but I just don't think that there's a contending team that both needs, like, kind of microwave scoring, but he doesn't have enough, like, of a book of business. There's just not enough history there that, like, suggests that if you can put him on any team and he does exactly that. Like, he hasn't done this consistently in the NBA at this level for, you know, ever really. So, and he's still a little bit mercurial despite, like, he gets not enough minutes, like I said, but, you know, it's not like a consistent dropping 20 every night kind of guy yet.
Yeah. And I think the Nets will prioritize. So we talk about Royce, what the Nets should do with Royce, Dinwiddie, Lonnie Walker. And we honestly should include Nick Claxton on that list because he will be a free agent too. And how much do you want to pay Nicholas Claxton?
But
I don't know.
I think let's hit on the, instead of the individual parts of the question, let's take a step back, Mike. You always get lost in the woods, yeah, in the weeds.
Of course.
Both, to be honest, frankly.
Jews famously get lost. It got lost in the desert for 40 years, and that's me with NBA.
And let me guide you through this desert of this question, Mike, the way that Moses did.
You wouldn't be I was about to say you wouldn't be the first Christian that tried to lead the Jews, but
yeah,
that guy was.
I'm a pagan. Like, you never seen a Messiah like me. the question though is, like, is it like, how do we balance building for the future right now?
I think everything is about the future, and but in the way of that, this team, it's not tanking because tanking, the Nets have no first round pick this year, but everything will be assessed through the prism of what this team will be next year and the year after. So what that means is, like, if Sean Marks gets a deal for some of these guys, like Royce, Dinwiddie, Lonnie Walker, whoever, that they feel like can immediately boost the team then for next year, whether it is a pick that then they can turn into someone else next year or, you know, whatever it is, they can start packaging picks together. Like, if the Nets end up out of this trade deadline in the future, in February, I know we're talking about it early, but if they could get two future first-round picks through a variety of trading, Royce, DFS, Dinwiddie, and Lonnie Walker, let's just say that's the bundle of players, those two first-round picks are going to mean more in the future when they can bundle that together with the Suns' picks and all the other picks that they have, the Sixers' pick way off in the future, right? So, like, in the end, what will most impact this team going forward is having a war chest of picks while not sucking so much that you, like, completely blow up this team. And I think the line for that is trading Dinwiddie and Royce pretty easily, keeping DFS and Lonnie Walker. Like, I love DFS. He's signed to a long-term contract. He's always going to be useful. You will always have trade value with him. Dinwiddie, friend of the show.
I think a lot of people... You. Toxic. You're being toxic.
A lot of people in Nets world would be not heartbroken if he was traded.
Mike, you know what's interesting about you is that you're always the most toxic to your closest friends. Like, Spencer's been on the show 3 times, I think. And I've done a show with you for a long time, and it's incredible how much you try to get rid of the people who are closest to you. Do you ever stop and think about that?
I'm a child of divorce.
Take your time.
Yeah. I'm a child of divorce, and I was born in the bosom of separation.
Okay. Good. Put it all out there.
I think that's... You know, what else do you need to know? The second someone gets close to me, I'm afraid they're going to leave. I force them away.
You force them away.
Next up.
That's Cheerboy Andrew Lish. Speaking of toxic, this is a toxic one for you, Mike. He says, do you still stand by your fake trade proposal of DFS and a pick for Buddy Hield?
Here's me looking at Buddy Hield stats. I'm sure they're good. They're okay. 13.6 points per game.
Give me those percentages, though, Mike. Hit me with the percentages.
42% threes.
Hey. All right.
86% from the field. Or from the field.
Hey, pretty good.
From the free throw line.
Yeah.
46% from the field. So, like, that's pretty good. He's on a pretty good team. He's on a very good team. I mean, they're 9-7, too. But,
yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have DFS than Buddy Hield. I did not anticipate the Nets being as good at three-point shooting this year as they are.
Okay.
And I thought they needed shooting.
So I didn't want to bury you with that, but we can do next up.
Sorry.
Cheer boy, that's Jolo. Jolo says, what is the potential of this team at full power and experience under their belt? It's kind of an interesting way of wording it. But what is the potential of this team at full power, Mike, with, you know, as they gain experience throughout the course of the season, this roster, no trades, nothing. What are we looking at, Mike? I mean, we've had the second hardest schedule in history of the NBA, in the history of the world.
I'm going to give you the teams leading the Eastern Conference. You tell me when you think the Nets fit in.
Dude, let me ask you this just before you jump in. Is Orlando Fugazi? Are you buying Orlando stock?
I don't think they're Fugazi.
Okay.
I think they are this year's Cleveland.
Okay.
Right? Very good. Very good season, but they need to make a trade to be legit in the playoffs. Okay, let me ask you this. Celtics, are the Nets better than the Celtics?
I don't think so.
Are the Nets better than the Bucks?
No.
Are the Nets better than the Magic?
This is where I'm saying, like, I don't know if I'm buying Orlando stat. Dude, this random ass Orlando team who's rattled off a couple of wins to start the season, they've got Banchero.
You know he's Italian, right?
They've got some guys. They are interesting, but I think that they, now that people are going to be specking and not thinking that it's going to be an easy dub to rip off, like, you know, I'm not buying Orlando stock.
They've won 7 in a row. The last loss was to the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, need I say more, Mike?
I still say, out of respect, okay, we'll put the Magic in the nether region.
I think I put them in the nether. Yeah, stick them in the nether.
76ers, I would say the Nets.
I don't think we're better.
Okay, so let's say Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, top three in the East. The Magic are 12-5 on a 7-game winning streak, but the last loss was to the Brooklyn Nets. Then it's the Knicks, Pacers, Heat, Cavs, Nets, and Hawks all jumbled.
Yeah, I think we're rightfully jumbled in there. Yeah.
I think we're just a smidge. Like, I would put the Magic, just out of respect, number 4.
Why so much respect for the Magic? What is this?
They're 12 and 5
to start the season. We're like 15% of the way into the season. Yeah.
I'll watch more Magic games. Numbers, Brian.
I'll watch more Magic games and see if it passes the sniff test. I didn't feel
absolutely.
I'll watch a ton of Magic film. Believe me, I will.
The Nets right now are reliably in that Knicks, Pacers, Heat, Cavs, Nets.
Yeah, that like fifth and up.
And now I will say there will be differentiation. So like the Knicks have the assets and the desire to make a move. The Pacers, because they have a young, good team, like I could see them making one distinct move to try to get better. The Cavs will probably be better. The Heat, I mean, you know, the Heat are whatever they are. I mean, they don't play a bunch of players, then we beat them. But then we beat them. Anyway, so the Nets are not going to make a move to make this team better this year. If anything, they're going to make a move to get rid of some players to get future assets. So in the end, they will probably wash out between the 7th through 10 seeds. But the question is, at its best, and the Nets are 9-8 without Ben Simmons, really, and Cam Thomas for a chunk of that.
And Nick Claxton for a chunk of it.
Nick Claxton and Cam Johnson.
Yeah, let's keep it real. Like our whole starting lineup was out at various points.
So at full strength, the Nets are competing for the 5-6 seed and trying not to be in the play-in.
I think now, at full strength, I'm getting in that four seed. We're bumping Orlando, who are Fugazi, out of the way.
There's no way.
I'm saying if everything corrects, this is actually external of the Nets. It's like everything goes well for the Nets, and also the Magic are exposed for being Fugazi.
Yeah. Let me sorry. I got a funny tweet. I think that's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's true, Mike. It's true.
I think it's true.
What I'm saying is true.
So let me ask you this question. Because the Nets could conceivably compete to be the fourth best record in the East. Most likely they're not, but could conceivably at all full strength.
We're saying potential, the full potential of this team, maximum power.
Should the Nets make a move to get better?
No, and I don't think so.
Okay, fair.
I think being attracted, look, Mike, I'm going to keep saying this until it's really, it sticks in your
fucking block of a head. Your Play-Doh brain.
Like, you are not getting, let me just grab you by the ears and shake you, because you're not getting it, Mike. is I don't want to trade anymore for star talent. I don't want to do it. I want to wait for it to happen. I want to build that culture and get them in free agency. I know you're I'm sure. Willing to be patient.
Yeah,
I'm willing
to be Warren patient. Buffett and I'm Charles Munger, okay?
I feel like they had very similar strategies, those two.
But classically, if you read Munger's obituary, you would have learned that all Warren Buffett wanted to do was buy cheap. He wanted to buy businesses cheap and near bankruptcy. And Munger was like, no, you want to pay a premium for a good business because that's going to pay off in the end. And that was proven right. I'm Munger, and look, you're Warren Bad Boy Buffett.
And look who's alive and who isn't. I'm taking that out. It's bad. Too soon.
Munger lived a great life.
Munger would approve. Munger would approve.
Munger had a sick sense of humor. So
he was. He was a sicko.
He was an absolute NBA sicko.
Yeah,
he freaking loved himself some NBA basketball.
Yeah, but I'm happy to be Buffett on this. I'm, you know, it's diamond hands. Diamond hands, Mike. Let's hold out. Build that culture. Actually draft well, because Sean Marks is the best perpetual rebuilding GM in the business. Like, just have some faith, damn it.
All right. I think that's our show.
All right. Okay, that's it.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter. This show was not produced by AI. It was produced by two humans.
Wow. Shout out to the human race.
Wait. Finally, it's taken this long for something to be created to make us appreciate humans.
Finally.
And it was AI.
And it was this show. Mike, thanks for having me. Find us at discord.gg/glueguys, at BKGlueGuys on Twitter, netsdaily.com, your source for everything Nets news. Howard Dean, Mike, you want to do it? Should I do it?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. We're out of here. Bye, everybody.
That was a bad Howard Dean.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.